Welcome everyone to our podcast, Mom, I am the artist. Today we're going to talk about, well, art, right? But also with this project that we are doing, we're trying to answer the question, can you really have a sustainable life from becoming an artist? Can the art sustain your life choices and, I don't know, lead you to have a comfortable, nice life? So, in order to give you an answer, our dear listener, we have invited three interesting and achieved artists. So first is Anton from Ukraine, who has been painting since school and now he lives in Lithuania. Second guest is Jonas Matusevičius. Well, he as well as known as Palmės Žiedas for Lithuanian audiences because, well, we had a chance to listen not only him on Spotify, but on LRT Opus, which we think is pretty big deal. And last but not least, our lovely professor Rimantas Plungė, who is known not only for his media art lectures, but as we will see, he's also is an experienced artist who has a really interesting stories to share. So stay tuned, we're going to have really interesting discussions. So in our studio we have this guest, Anton, who does art. So please tell something about what you're doing in life.
I'm an artist, I'm Ukrainian artist in Lithuania. Everywhere in my social media it's written, so I'm not ashamed to be Ukrainian in Lithuania. It's a wonderful country to be in here. And yourself. I'm working as a technologist in one manufactory. We're working with the silk screen printing, which is slightly related to art. And at least I'm mixing paints and I hacked the system. I'm mixing paints and they're paying me money for this. So.
When did you start creating art, or rather could you define a point in time when you realized that this is what you want to do for a living or just as a hobby, as you mentioned?
In school, probably there was no other occupation that I would be perceiving like this. So I just started to draw, I don't know, one summer holidays. I just started to draw like 8 hours per day. I was copying, I was trying to socialize through my things, what I do. So I was trying to make portraits of the people, just was sending to them, they were happy. It's repetitional movements. After this, probably this was the moment.
That's really interesting. I was about to ask you to explain a little bit more because we know what you do, right? We saw your work, it's amazing, but our listeners don't really, you know? Yeah. So maybe you could tell us just a little bit for the listeners. What do you do? Why are you here? Why did we choose you, you know?
Basically, probably the most important thing for me, at least, and maybe most newable, popular of my works is the cost. The painting where I depicted the portraits of fallen soldiers who died for Ukraine, and it was when I finished my studies, it was 4,470. Now it's almost 5,000, just like it's a big painting. It's approximately, like, it's not approximately, it's 5 on 5 meters right now in Karo Muziejus. It's a exhibition there. And basically, I'm working on Ukraine. All my art related to Ukraine, related to question of the what we survived as a nation, our transformed subconscious, our perception of this world, why we are like this. I want to find the answer for this, why we are like this, why we cannot be straight away like in the list of European countries, for example, why we cannot be why what caused such a situation as we are right now, and why it was that hard to regain our independence for so long time. So in art I try to depict it. I try to also depict the cruelty of war, trying to make people feel, and through vibrant colors, through all super colorful, but to speak about the horrible things, I think it's this contrast is really important and it works.
It definitely does. I've seen your work and it's really touching, and I'm hoping to see the times where you draw the inspiration from Ukraine, but in a much more positive light than we have now.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we could move on with, in general, or in your experience, what do you think artists struggle with the most when it comes to financial situation? You know, when you have to, if you want to do art and you want to do it full time, what are the obstacles that you may have?
You have to have a studio, you have to have a place where to do this, you have to have a material, you have to have finances for living, you have to build up the comfortable situation around yourself, and not only financial but also mental, but also financial, and financial influencing mental, mental influencing financial. So yeah, this is the most of the struggles right now. I'm surviving it right now. I'm not choosing to be a refugee here. I chose to be a part of the society as a Ukrainian artist, not a Ukrainian refugee. So basically, probably it's the same struggles what I have, and all the, even the Lithuanian artists, young ones, they have it. Of course, when you're choosing to produce more what market asks you to produce, when you go with market, when you're not going against it, when you're not dictating your rules, it's a bit easier. For example, like I know a lot of Ukrainian artists who are selling, and they were selling before Full Scale Invasion, they were selling before 2014, they were selling before war to Europe, and they were living in Ukraine for this money, and they were happy, but they were doing just some kitschy stuff.
And have you personally faced this kind of situation when you had to choose between your art, what message you want to depict, and making money?
Always. Like, always. It's always a question. I have a skill set. I have a lot of, like, I know how to draw. I know how to draw still life. I know how to draw. I have basics of drawing. I know basics of painting. I know basics of sculpture. I know basics of ceramics. And I know how to do this. But maybe I just following more my, like, what I want is to be an artist who know not only like a Damien Hirst to sell the butterflies, but just a person who do great stuff. Of course, sometimes you're questioning yourself, maybe it's better to open some studio, teach the kids to draw, teach push them your perception of the world, and take from their parents money. Sometimes you think about this, but for now, it's not what I want to do.
Interesting, really. I got really lost into your thought and was like debating everything. So let's talk about the changes or improvements that you would like to see in terms of government support or possible financial situation improvements for artists, if you have any other ideas other than government support.
Well, here I would like to compare more because I know the situation in Lithuania, I know the situation in Ukraine, and in Lithuanian situation regards museums, regards cultural events, regards everything what done by Lithuanians I really proud of you guys because you managed to do this. Besides, there is some problems, I know, in every country there is, but in general, what the picture, what you have, it's way, way, way better than what's happening in Ukraine. However, from times of the Revolution of Dignity in 2014, we started to do nice museums. We have right now one of the, like, it's the biggest museum of contemporary art in Ukraine. It's Musée Korsakov in Lutsk, which is the west of Ukraine. It's they were actually offering me to buy a painting, but I refused. Just I don't know, maybe it's bad, maybe it's good, time will show, but
if you can share, what was the reason why you haven't?
I don't know. I said to them that I want to bring it more to Europe and show into Europe, because in Ukraine everybody know about our tragedy, and well, maybe not everybody, there's still ignorant people, but in Europe it's important, and important the way of political also movement, because democracies, they are supported by people and moods of the people, they decide on this, on support of the Ukraine and so on and so on.
It's really nice to see that in these circumstances, art is not only spreading a message, but it's also a tool informing people about what's going on in the world and what impact it has on Ukrainians, and how artists also can support soldiers, support civilians who are under really harsh circumstances and fighting for their freedom. And now I would like us to move to our next interviewee, Jonas Matusevičius, as well as known as Palmės Žiedas. And well, Laura, please take over the lead.
Okay. Hi, Jonas, it's nice to have you here. Could you first introduce yourself?
So hello, I'm Jonas. I'm also known as Palmės Žiedas. I'm a Lithuanian performer, music performer, and a producer. So yeah.
Cool. Nice. Nice to have you here. So please tell us then, is art your main occupation at the moment?
Yeah, for now, art is my main occupation. I like to think of it that I'm at the start as art is my main occupation, but basically, yeah.
Okay, so another question that not so many people like hearing. How old are you now?
So I'm 23. I'm 23. I'm living as an artist, and I didn't have any job. I had a couple of jobs, like simple jobs, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. However, I'm still living at my parents. Next year I'm gonna move out, but that impacts a lot my life, basically. I mean the financial life. But my goal is to live as a full-time artist here.
Okay, that's nice to hear. But you're also a student as of now, right?
Yeah, I'm a student. I'm in the last year of my bachelor's.
Okay. And the study program is?
I study music production, so I study art. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sets the background, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Tell us about the beginning. When did you start creating art professionally? Or rather, could you define a point in time when you realized that this is what you want to do for a living?
It's quite a difficult question. The second part is quite a difficult question. But if to talk about when I started to do art professionally, well, I've been playing the piano from about 6 years old, classical piano. I remember when finishing my music school in the eighth grade, I thought that I will never do music again and etc. it's kind of weird because I'll at the time I was also playing guitar, but yeah, and I just started making recordings from about 15 years old. I played in a couple of rock bands from like 14, 13, and then I started making my own recordings, like real kind of recordings, from about 16 years old. It's kind of, at the time, this was kind of a roller coaster of events. So it's even difficult for me to pinpoint the exact time. It's not a decision, basically. Like, you just flow, in my opinion. Yeah.
Okay. That I kind of anticipated this kind of an answer. You know, I assume it is quite difficult. It's not like flipping a switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we got your background, even more of it. Let's talk finances. So could you tell me, in your experience, what financial challenges do artists commonly face when trying to make a living from their art? Maybe what you faced, or what do you think is the situation now?
Personally, I'd like to think that it really comes from your own background. For example, both of my parents are not freelancers. They work jobs. They get their salary, and working as an artist or like working freelance is a very different experience. You don't really get that paycheck at the end of the month, so that's the main thing that you have to transition your, for me, that's the main thing that I had to transition myself to, this like really kind of different understanding of how the situation with money. The best example I would like to think of, that you don't like have or don't have money. It's just like, and it's a more difficult process in my opinion. It's really kind of based, for me, it's based on my kind of the planning, yeah, etc., but also of my mindset.
Well, it seems that you see both of the sides of the uncertainty that you talked about, right? You see the positive side, right, that you mentioned before, and now when it comes to the negative, well, do you enjoy being the one who kind of gets to decide how much you make? Like, for example, you either accept or decline projects?
There are good days and bad days. Sometimes, yeah, it feels that, oh, I just need to get a job. But sometimes it's the biggest favor of mine is that I am free to do with my time whatever I can. So this is the biggest thing that I'm after. And for example, a year ago, it was much worse than that, I would think. So that I began to more develop into this topic of time and management and projects. So now I'm almost at peace with this, that I don't want the job, or I don't know, maybe it's just I'm not that like not that old of a creator. So yeah.
Ooh, okay, interesting. It's good to see you. Growing up, so if I could put it that way, and actually making peace with what you do. So I'm really happy that you think this way. Right. And then maybe we should move on, and I will ask you a few more uncomfortable questions. Have you ever had to choose between staying true to yourself as an artist and adjusting your artwork to meet market demands? I know it sounds difficult, but have you ever had to choose between make your money?
I've never done this decision, basically. Mm-hmm. I know people that maybe have done that, but I have never done this decision. I have never even thought about this. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm working very independently. That's the main reason. If I would, for example, have some sort of record label approach me and they would kind of give an offer of okay, would you give me like an album, but half of it has to be in English because I mainly sing in Lithuanian, and then I would have to think about basically. But I have never thought about this. Maybe I did it subconsciously, kind of. Oh, it sounds really good. I really want to. But it sounds like But no, when I think about it, no, sounded really good. That's why I wanted to do it more, to develop into this genre or the other ones. Yeah.
Right. So I see that this is your point, like talking from a, well, point of creativity, right? What you do, what you create, what music you make. But we've talked to some people before and they mentioned working, well, odd jobs, if I could put it that way, that have to do with the thing that they're creating, the art, that the medium that they choose to create in. Have you ever had any projects, for example, producing music or something that maybe you felt like you could do was not your passion, but it had something to do with the art that you make?
Well, yeah, I tried to produce for other people also, and I think it was a really good experience for me. I don't know if I do it again. I would not actively seek for this kind of thing, maybe. But if someone would like throw an offer to me, I would think about it. It's very dependent on the situation of on the art. I had, for example, I recorded a couple of bands, and I think it was very beneficial to my work that I'm doing not right now. So. Yeah, working odd jobs, as you say, from research, we could say that people who work physical jobs are one of the most happiest people alive. So it's a thing to think about. But I like working like physical jobs, but I like working that the jobs would bring value to me, not to others, maybe. If I don't know. So that's mainly. Maybe, but it's not like bad or something. It's like it's a decision which everyone I think has to respect.
Thank you, Yoni, for this interesting interview and for your honest answers. And now, dear listener, we are going to our last guest, our dear professor Rimantas Splunge.
So my first question, how do you view the relationship between traditional art forms and new media in today's art? But I believe you have a story to tell, which is more interesting for your own experience as a gathered information.
Okay.
So you can tell from your point of view how you end up in the arts world.
Okay, I started my artist career when I was 24 years old. I just graduated from the university. And I had so many ideas how I can be an artist. And actually, you know, I started to paint, later make photos, videos, installations, and apply to different projects, exhibitions, biennials, all over the world. And now I have a lot of experience. You know, I took part in different exhibitions, United States, Mexico, Italy, Croatia, Scotland, other countries. I had my personal shows, you know, in so many different countries like Denmark, United States, UK, Croatia, and of course Lithuania, but in so many countries. So actually, I know a little bit about the art market. And, as an artist, I really apply for so many different places. And I have quite good luck, you know, to get into the galleries, biennials, group exhibitions, conceptual exhibitions, different plein air, you know, events. And also I created some, you know, even documentary movies about some of my experiences as an artist in Austria, you know, where I was invited in the land art and environmental art, plein air event.
Wow, okay. That's impressive. And now from your personal experience, right? What in this world where media takes over the world now, everyone with AI can be an artist, right? Or try to be an artist. What professional seeks from art market? What features they are trying to look in the art, or actually what they are looking for?
You know, when you become an artist, you need to decide what you want to do in your life. You know, to be a hungry artist, there is one possibility. Another possibility to be a popular artist, to sell your work, travel, take part in the projects. And the third possibility is really maybe the best, to keep a balance, you know, between to be an artist and also to be involved, you know, in the, art education maybe world, or maybe in working different museums and galleries also. So sometimes you can really, you can get paid, you know, for your art and you can sell something. But sometimes, you know, it's okay just to take care about the quality of your products, you know, of your art. And then not always, you know, maybe somebody will be able or ready to buy it. So actually, yeah, so it's always complicated. And, you know, if you are an artist, 100%, you know, sometimes you are in struggle because, you know, sometimes they sell and you can get a lot of money, but sometimes, nobody wants to buy for half a year, you know, anything. So sometimes it can be complicated. So to be an artist, you know, it's always about not choosing just a specialty. It's a lifestyle, I would say.
Okay, let's move on. So what practical advice would you give to artists trying to sustain themselves financially through their art?
Okay, you know, young artists, they're really trying all the ways, you know, so it's not always easy. But for the artist, the main thing is to stay, you know, yourself. So I would wish for the artist to stay, you know, yourself and really develop and work in things which are important, interesting, and which became your, you know, lifestyle, you know, I would say. Not only, you know, you should think about how to produce, you know, paintings or photos or whatever, you know. No, you must be worried how to express yourself. And, you know, sometimes I say for the students, you know, I have so many, I saw so many people in the life, you know, which they really work in the specific field where everybody earns money and can, you know, live a proper life. But somebody cannot be successful in that field. And I saw so many, you know, creative fields where nobody earns any money. But the one, two or three guys which are good, you know, which are really, how to say, burning in that field, they are really interesting. They earn a lot of money and they are very successful. So actually, yeah, the first thing is really, you should remember that talent is cheap. But the main thing for the artist, stay yourself, you know, really. You cannot betray yourself.
So be yourself, look for your audience, and don't be afraid to participate in various competitions.
Yeah, be very persistent.
So thank you for this interview, and thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us through all this podcast. So there's your answer. If you are striving to be an artist, don't be afraid what others are telling to you, that you're going to be poor or you're going to not achieve anything. You have heard three wonderful examples that if you believe enough, you can achieve everything. So thank you once again. See you around. And I believe we wish you happy holidays, right? Okay, bye-bye. See you around.